fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to talk about a simple passage from the first letter of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. He talks about why Jesus came. It's important for us to remember the fundamental reasons for which Jesus came. The Son of God took on human flesh. That great condescension, he humbled himself. He emptied himself from what is his absolute authority, power, dominion, and strength, kingship. And he who is king and Lord of all became the servant of all. And he became one of us so that he could accomplish what the Father commissioned him to do. So Paul tells us, in that chapter, chapter 1, verse 15, he said, this saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. So he's underlining how important this statement is. This saying is sure and it's worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to save sinners. He came to seek and save the lost, Scripture says in another place. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Jesus came not only to help us understand the Father better, not only to help us understand the road to human happiness, not only to reveal the fullness of God's law, God's commandments, he came to deal with a problem, the problem that's literally killing everybody, every human being, is born in a condition of alienation from God, in a state of original sin. We share in the fall, in the sin-directed nature of Adam and Eve, our first parents. Jesus came to deal with that problem, the sin problem, because the sin problem, as I've said many times in the program, produces the death problem. Jesus came to conquer the power of sin and death. In the Acts of the Apostles, there's a number of charismatic texts where the apostles are preaching the basic core message of the gospel, the germ cell upon which the whole church is built, and the Holy Spirit backs with such power. Acts 5, verses 30 through 32, it said, the God of our fathers has raised Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a tree. He was dead, but God has exalted him at his right hand as ruler and savior. You killed him, God raised him. And God raised him, not only did he raise him, but he exalted him at the Father's right hand to restore Jesus back to his place of absolute authority and sharing in the very power and glory of God the Father. He said, he is, that is, Jesus is to bring repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We testify to this, and so does the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. It's a beautiful little summary. The essence of Christianity, that the central claim of Christianity is that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. The resurrection of the dead is the fundamental claim and the source of all hope. Humanity has a future. The human race has a future, and the church exists to declare this truth fundamentally, to say the world has hope, the world has a purpose and a destiny, and the light of Christ has revealed this to us. We can see now, we can understand the fundamental human struggle, we can understand the longing of our heart that in this world nothing ultimately satisfies us because we're made for something beyond this world. We're made to be in union and relationship with God. And the church proclaims that basic truth built right here on the teaching of the apostles. This is the core of Christianity. Let me read it again. St. Peter saying, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead. Peter's preaching to the Pharisees and to the Jews who are gathered. God raised Jesus from the dead. There you have it. That's the central claim of Christianity. And then Peter goes on to say, you put him to death by hanging him on a tree. He's essentially saying, we were there, we saw it, you know he died, we know he died, but now we're proclaiming to you that he's been raised by God the Father. Not only that, God has exalted him at his right hand as ruler and savior. This is Lord in Christ is another way to say it. Jesus is exalted. He humbled himself, that great teaching that runs through the entire scripture, that the humble will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Jesus gives us, shows us, how are we to live? What's the most important disposition we can have in this world? How are we supposed to walk through this world? Jesus shows us. He said, follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Here we see through the proclamation of the apostles that Jesus emptied himself and he became the servant of all. We're called to walk with that same kind of humility, the humility of Jesus. And as Jesus was raised up to the right hand of the Father, those who humble themselves and follow after Jesus and receive his teaching and take it to heart, believe it and live it, they too will share in the exaltation that belongs to Jesus. The human race has a future at the right hand of God the Father in Christ. We have a future beyond death because Jesus himself has passed from death to life. And now he's exalted. So our destiny in proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, there's the fundamental implication that all who share in Christ's life are going to participate in his glory. And the key thing I want to just mention today is that Jesus came for a purpose. And here Peter says he came to bring repentance to Israel. Repentance to the chosen people. The very people that God had marked out and given his law to, his commandments. The very people God had saved the crossing of the Red Sea, and he'd worked great signs and wonders, and the people of the patriarchs and the prophets, and even the kings and King David and others. It's this people who Jesus came to first, the household of Israel. And he came to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to them. And then that message is meant to go out from the people of Israel to the whole non-Jewish world, to the Gentile world, that God's mercy has come not only to Israel, but the promise of God's mercy that's throughout the Old Testament, through the prophets, of God's coming and grace in the Messiah, has now come in the person of Jesus. And Israel's meant to be a light to the nations, that is, a light to the Gentile world. That light has come forth through the people of Israel, and it's Jesus, Son of David. He's the one that the light of heaven was present in Christ. He entered into the darkness of sin and death, and he dispelled the darkness through the victory of the light that he brought. So he said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. So Peter again, Jesus has come to bring repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. So the church proclaims this truth and offers the gift of God's mercy and the forgiveness of sins to the whole world. This is why the church exists, to proclaim Jesus is Lord. And people say, what does that mean that Jesus is Lord? Well, it means, friends, that he was born of Mary, born in the flesh. He died for our sins and he was raised for our justification. He was raised now to the right hand of the Father in glory, and all power and glory belong to him. Every human being is going to appear one day before the judgment seat of Jesus. People say, well, what does that mean for me? What's the implication? The implication is, change your life. Receive his offer of mercy, of love, of forgiveness. He wants to offer you the gift of his kingdom. He wants to make you a new creation. It's something you can't attain on your own. I can't attain it on my own. The people of Israel couldn't. The way to enter the kingdom of God is to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to what he came for. Jesus became one of us and bled and died for us because he knew that without his mercy, without the forgiveness of sins through the shedding of Jesus' blood, we would never have a future beyond death, a future that we desire, let me put it that way, the eternal glory at the right hand of the Father. And so Peter goes on to say, verse 4, he said, we testify to this, this fundamental truth that this has been accomplished in Jesus, and that we all call now to turn to him through repentance and to receive the forgiveness of our sins and to be baptized. He said, we testify to this, and so does the Holy Spirit. It's an important thing to be able to see for all those who are listening who you're attempting to engage the work of evangelization. You know, the first agent of the church's mission is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come on a mission. The Holy Spirit has come to bring the victory of Jesus, his glory and power, and his grace to a world that needs to be made new to be forgiven, to be healed, to be transformed, to be made a new creation. It's the Holy Spirit has come, as St. Peter would say, to testify to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Paul will say himself, he'll say, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of course, anybody can say the words Jesus is Lord. What Paul's talking about is that only the Holy Spirit and the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in us responding to the proclamation of what the apostles are giving. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals to every human heart the truth about Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, and his exaltation at the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power, the faith to be able to say yes to what is proclaimed. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to accept the hard word that the apostles are preaching and that Jesus preached, to say that all of us are dead in our sins and we're called to repentance, to receive the forgiveness of sin so we can enter into a new relationship with God. Without that, without the grace of God, without the Holy Spirit opening our hearts, without the Holy Spirit applying to our lives through the grace of baptism, through the sacrament of reconciliation, without the grace of God and the Holy Spirit acting, we wouldn't be able to have our sins forgiven. It's the Holy Spirit who prepares us, who draws us into acknowledging the Lordship and the majesty of Jesus. He says, we testify to this, and so too does the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Jesus came not only to deal with the sin problem and the death problem, but he came to make it possible for us to be able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is a new life in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the grace given to us by the Father and the Son. The very life of God is given to us by one of us, Jesus of Nazareth, who by his authority now at the right hand of the Father gives to us one thing we most need. We need life. We need not just biological life. We need a share in God's divine life, a life that will never die. God has given to those who obey him the gift of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, dwells in us, is in a temple. And the whole of the Christian life is learning to walk and yield ourselves to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work within us. That's why Jesus said, you know, without me, you can do nothing. I can't save myself. I can't even change the condition of my own heart. But Jesus promises to do just that by giving each one of us this gift of the Spirit. So today, if you've been baptized, if you've opened up your heart to Christ and you're wanting to obey him and follow him, he's given you the Holy Spirit to be able to lead you to all truth, to give you the strength you need to live the life he's calling you to live. So the Christian life isn't just a set of rules that I obey. Most fundamentally, it's a new life in the Holy Spirit who leads me to love what Christ loves, to love the Father, to love my neighbor, to love God's plan, God's economy, to love God's commandments that are meant for our good. It's that fundamental change that the apostles are speaking about and what it means that Jesus has come to bring about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's step one into making it possible for each one of us to live a new way of life in him as sons and daughters. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.